The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is the Cat Attack Podcast's episode 3, season 7.
We've been going that long.
No, I don't know. It sounds a bit like something off The Sopranos, Kingy, doesn't it?
We were doing it before COVID, weren't we? We did the podcast.
Have you been doing it that long, have you?
This must be season 5.
Did you do it much during COVID?
We didn't do it at all, Ben.
No, we didn't. That's right.
We were very quiet through COVID.
There are other activities.
Yes, there was a lot of gambling. I was spending a lot of time watching the races at Narracourt.
Yes, there was some far-flung venues that you got acquainted with.
I did. Didn't even know they had racetracks, Benny.
Yep.
Anyway, how are you? Yes, Cats good. Are 0-2. They've lost 2 in a row for the first time since 2018.
Yeah, this is our key.
0-2 for the first time since 2015.
Arguably one of their biggest games. There's something wrong with my connection.
What, your headphones?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, we're back. I'd say that this is one of the biggest games the Cats have played against the Gold Coast. You don't want to be 0-3.
Long way back from 0-3.
It is a long way back, and you'd be conceding a 3-game start to, you know, probably Collingwood, Carlton.
Sydney. Well, not to Carlton, because Carlton drew.
Oh, drew, but I mean, they're technically a game. Yeah. It's still a game that you've got to make up, yeah. So they'll be 3 games behind them.
St Kilda.
Well, I'm not so worried so much about them.
North Melbourne.
It just makes it a long road to hoe, particularly when you're not playing well.
No.
And when I say not playing well, I mean the Cats haven't been horrible. They've just had a lot of players who haven't found anywhere near the sort of form they were displaying to the back end of last year. If I was going through it, Kingy, I'd say Jeremy Cameron, massive tick.
Yep.
Also, huge question mark as to whether he plays this week. I'd say Zach Guthrie's come back in pretty good touch.
Yes.
I'd say Asava Radigalia, who didn't play last year, has come back and has been pretty good.
Outside of that?
Outside of those three players, I don't know that you could name me one that has even maybe reached the level of last year, certainly not surpassed it. I reckon Grian Myers has been okay, particularly against Collingwood. I thought he was pretty good. But there's some players there who are just going, I think, is the footy vernacular.
Cats haven't lost 3 in a row since round 6-8, 2017. Just to give you an idea of how consistent they have been. It's been a rarity. And 0-3, when you're 0-2 and you get that first win up, to get back to 500 in US sporting terms is a lot easier. And that's an obvious statement. But, gee, 0-3, you're back there within a fortnight. When you're 0-3, you're another 3 weeks away, and then you're reliant on that you actually have to win those 3 games. And one of those 3 games for the Cats, if they were 0-3, is the Swans down here on a Saturday night.
Yes, and at Hawthorn the following week after the Gold Coast.
And then the Eagles in Adelaide.
So you'd like to sort of be penciling that in. And then, geez, the Eagles in Adelaide, well, you'd hope you can be doing the business there. So this becomes a really pivotal game.
Because if you're 2-4...
You're a fair way off.
Then you're starting to ask questions whether you're even...
I wouldn't go that far after 6 rounds, but it just becomes a really pivotal game simply because I don't know that, as we said, the Cats aren't going that well. They've got to go on the road. They're playing against a team that has lost both games but has been, well, pretty ordinary in the first week against Sydney.
They weren't better against Essendon.
Yeah, mind you, Essendon had a lot out in the end. They lost by 5 goals. Mm. They're there to be beaten. Let's put it this way. Gold Coast aren't winning the premiership.
No.
Gold Coast would be probably lucky to play finals. This year, the way they're tracking, they're just not playing well. Ben King is taking some time to find his feet. I'm sure he will find his feet, but it's probably going to be in the second half of the year. He's not playing well. He can't get near it off the knee injury last year. You've got to be able to take advantage of that. He's their key forward that they're going to be looking to kick it to. So they've got a lot of deficiencies in that team. Rankin's obviously gone. The midfield is just going. Ballard, I mean, I really rate Ballard as a player. He Kyle Langford looked like Alex Jezelenko last week. It was extraordinary. he was giving Ballard absolute fits. Mm. Ballard was obviously lucky to play, was suspended and then overturned at the tribunal. Mm. Have you ever been overturned at the tribunal?
No, I haven't been overturned.
So it's a pivotal game in the season, A, to win, and B, to get some blokes back into form. And I'm sort of thinking of guys like Brad Close.
Yep.
He's been pretty ordinary.
Witness protection. First two,
yeah, he's been in witness protection. I'd say in a different way, because he plays defensive, but you know, Jed Buse has probably, you know, just been okay.
Yep.
Defensively, he's probably been pretty good.
Because he does provide some run.
He's probably needed to
over the last couple of weeks.
Well, he didn't in round one. He had Billy Elliott to cover. And then last week he had a few problems with some various players that he played on. But, I mean, he hasn't played poorly, but he's another one that could probably just go to another level. For me, the two areas, and we said it after round one, and nothing has changed after round two, the midfield has been getting well beaten.
Yep.
Absolutely pillaged. Dangerfield has been way below his best, I would suggest.
And he has come off an uninterrupted
yes
preseason.
He's had absolutely no impact basically in two games, and so it's the midfield's getting beaten and they're not able to contain the running halfbacks of the opposition who are carving them to shreds.
Yeah, Saad had a good night.
You know, Doherty was pretty good. The week before it was Noble and the Dacos boys just did as they liked out of the back half. You just can't allow that. That's the spring. I mean, that's what Geelong have done so well. They're also not defending turnovers very well. I think they were ranked one or two in the comp for defending turnovers. They're ranked about 17th. So not only are they coughing the ball up, but then they're out of shape behind the ball. There's quite a few areas there. Tommy Hawkins is clearly way underdone. And I mentioned they're close. Stengel has been average. I mean, in the end, they had to take Stengel to the goal square.
Yep.
Mind you, that did work a little bit for them in the last quarter to try and get Saad out of the game because he was absolutely toweling him. So there's a lot of issues to fix, Kingy, and the Cats are capable of fixing them, but they need to fix them quickly and find a way to win on Sunday because just in the context of their season for a variety of reasons, it's a really pivotal match.
You've watched a lot of footy. Does Blake Akers play too many better games than what he played?
Well, he was pretty good at Frio.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Frio, geez, what's happened there?
Mm.
The old wheels have come off, haven't they?
They'd be beaten by North Melbourne in Perth.
That's diabolical.
After being beaten by St Kilda, who were running out with a VFL team.
They just can't score. Anyway, they've sort of...
That's always been their issue.
Well, yeah, but I mean, last year they were pretty good, but even they're having scores against them now. But anyway, we're...
Just on the scores against for the Cats. So the Cats have conceded 90-plus...
Now, 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. They only did it five times last year.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show. And I think that's – people will say Stewart's out and you know, Jack Henry's out and Duncan. Kolarzny's been out and Dunga's been out, which is to a point that is fair. But I also think it's just a little bit of the way they're playing, the way they're setting up. I mean, De Koning is – have you ever known a player to be battered – pillar to post in 2 weeks than Sam De Koning.
Well, Jacob Ware from GWS Giants.
Oh, he's one, yeah.
He's the other one. It's like it's been gang up on De Koning and Ware.
Yeah, well, De Koning's been... He's got more knocks, heavy knocks in the first 2 weeks. He'll be really sore.
Can I give you a fun fact about Jacob Ware? This is the most outrageous left of centre fun fact you'll ever learn. You know, and this is he has a link to local footy, Jacob Ware.
Does he have a wart somewhere?
What?
A wart?
Why?
I don't know. This was a fun fact. I thought you were going to tell me.
No, his dad, Gary, played locally in the Ballerine League many, many years ago for St Leonard's.
Right.
Which is, he won a couple of best and fairest. He was studying at Marcus Oldham.
Right.
For the farm boys headed out to St Leonard's to play. I've sort of followed his career, Jacob Ware. And unfortunately, I've actually been in touch with his dad. It's a broken scapula this time.
Right.
So McAdam got him the week before, and then he's got a broken scapula. So from the illegitimate hit, he was okay. From the legitimate, you know, shoulder-to-shoulder bump, he was...
Yeah. And his sister, she went missing. She went missing after half-time.
Yeah, you are an idiot.
Is that true?
No, you're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot. So the Cats, what are they? Well, Jeremy Cameron's an interesting one. So,
oh, God, if he doesn't play, put your
helmet on. Well, a couple of things with Jeremy Cameron. I think he's not, his partner, Indy, hasn't given birth yet. That would probably, if there's no delivery of baby between now and Saturday, he's probably not getting on a plane.
No.
But the other thing is there's some talk, there's a rib issue.
Broken ribs.
Or broken, whether they're broken or not, I don't know. But he did cop a whack.
Do you think they might seduce her? Do you know someone said that to me once?
As instead of induce.
Yeah. He goes, oh, I reckon they might seduce or something.
No. No.
I said, you mean induce? He goes, oh, whatever it is. Do you reckon they could?
induce. No,
he just let all natural. Can
let it happen.
Let just, it all. Little sort of like natural yogurt, you know, and put any flavors into it.
Correct. Just let it.
Greek style.
Let it happen, Benny. What do they got to do to stop the Suns? What have you seen?
Well,
the
I'd be suggesting that they'd want to start well because Gold Coast, you know, they're not the same rabble that they were some years ago, albeit they are zipping two. You'd want to start well. I wouldn't want to be conceding a start at quarter time. And the crowd, albeit it's not going to be huge, probably as many Geelong fans there as there will be Gold Coast fans. But just, you don't want the crowd involved. You don't want their players to get some enthusiasm, sniff their first win. They'll be getting pumped up by Stewie Jew that they need to find a way. They'll be seeing this as a winnable game, the reigning premier on the ropes to a degree, not playing well. This is an opportunity to stand up. That challenge will be thrown to them. Challenge to the Cats is that, you know, they've got to go on the road. Traditionally been okay on the road. But if Cameron doesn't play, that creates an enormous hole because, as we mentioned, Tommy Hawkins just going. I don't know who you bring in. Does Shannon Neal?
Well, he hasn't. He's been a bit underdone.
Yeah, he'd be underdone. You couldn't have two blokes nearly 200 centimetres both underdone, I would have thought, in the forward half.
Yeah.
That would be asking for serious Barney rubble.
Do they go a little bit small, like give a Dempsey an opportunity?
Well, geez, that, they become the sort of the old mosquito fleet then. Myers, Dempsey, Stengel, Close.
But Hawkins, Rowan, Ollie Henry still gives you some marks.
Yeah, true. Well, I'd probably suggest that would be a better option than Shannon Neal. I think Shannon Neal would be a better option if he was up and about, fully fit. But I wonder how. I mean, they're going to have to make a call early on that with Cameron, aren't they? I mean, it's not. We'll know whether he gets on the plane or not.
Well, I think Thursday night they'll make a call.
Yeah,
when they announce the team.
Well, I mean, they'll put him in it, surely. They're not going to leave him out in case something happened between Thursday and Sunday.
Well, but if it's, the other case is how late do you leave him to fly up there? Do you say, well, mate, we'll give you to Sunday morning to get on a plane?
Well, I would, yeah. So that 100% they'd name him. They wouldn't leave him out and then think she has, you know, the baby arrives Friday night and he's, you know, a bit tired but okay to play. Mm. Rib issue is obviously a big one, although I think, you know, players, modern-day players can play with broken ribs. It's not ideal. They're jabbed up. I think one of the Cats last year, Mitch Duncan, might have played, quite a bit of the season with some sore ribs. So it's just a bit more sore after the game than it is during the game. But big loss if he's out. College Asney, potentially, we heard from Simon Lloyd. Did you see, we just listened to Kingy. I'll let the Kurzweil Cat Attack podcast listens in. Can you and I just listen to Simon Lloyd's?
We watched his weekly update.
It was like an address to the nation.
State of the Union?
It was extraordinary. If you haven't seen the vision, it was like a little press conference, a mini press conference, where Simon, you know, welcomed Cat fans and then told us about, went into great detail about blokes who are not playing for 1,000 years, like Jack Henry and Tom Stewart and Mitch Duncan. All they're going along, they're tracking nicely, and he didn't mention Jeremy Cameron, for starters. Mm. He did say Jake Colajasny, he sort of indicated if he got the tick from the medical staff, would play. So he comes back into the defence, I would have thought. He's had an uninterrupted pre-season, Jake, so up until his concussion issue, he'd been tracking well. So I'd be looking to get him back into the mix. Radigalia alongside Radigalia and De Koning, although they're not that big. They're not that big, other than obviously King, who I mentioned is not travelling well, and Big Meat Casbolt.
So you said De Koning to King?
De Koning to King, it seems a good matchup to me. And
Radigalia to Casbolt.
Yep.
And Radigalia might be able to expose Casbolt. Radigalia's a bit more of an athlete than Casbolt, ball on the ground.
Big Meat's pretty good, though. Big Meat's physical.
But he's 30, he's 30-odd.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter, does it?
He's
a bit more sort of well done meat now rather than
medium rare.
Yeah. Or you're just sort of blue. Do you eat blue meat?
You're very
you?
Blue. Just on Dempsey last week kicked 3 goals from 8 possessions in the VFL.
Other one, Kingy, too, Stanley. Would be in doubt, I would have suggested.
After that knocky cop.
Segler was pulled off at three-quarter time.
Yep, in the VFL.
And I know you're smiling over there, Kingy, but that is modern-day term for he came off the ground at three-quarter time and did not return, which suggesting that they wanted to get a little bit of game time into him, but not too much because I think they felt they were going to need him this week. So Segler potentially back in. I don't know how that goes, to be honest with you.
So Segler then would go up against Witz.
Oh. Do you think that's what his nickname would be?
No, I don't think so.
You surely would have to be, wouldn't it?
No, huh? Ben, move on. Grow up. Because every time you do something stupid, I have to think about whether I'm editing it out.
You don't need to edit that out. No, I mean, that's just a... Yeah, surely that's his nickname inside the four walls.
Simpson had 19 possessions. Don't know whether he might get a look in.
Parfitt had a bit of it.
Parfitt had 23.
Oh, I just think they've got
and eight clearances.
They've got to mix up the midfield. The other thing too, Kingy, and...
So Neil, 15 disposals, took 8 marks.
Yeah, geez. He's a lower level, but I don't know, it'd be tempting. Tempting to have that second tall target to stretch them. I mean, Ballard's pretty tall, but he's not overly big. He would be giving away height and weight to Neil if they went with that matchup. Obviously, Collins goes to Hawkins. Hawk, hopefully... You know, slightly fitter again, but he's got a way to go. I sort of said early on.
Interesting to see how they've approached the 10-day break with Hawk, just in terms of getting some...
Well, I think he's that sore that they really can't do too much with him. I don't think you're going to be able to sort of flog him on the track. I think it's more about recovery. I just think he's going to have to incrementally build into the season. I said I don't think you'd be seeing Tom Hawkins, you know, back to what you would classify as his best until the middle of the year, given what's happened. Just... The other one, Kingy, was Cam Guthrie had 6 quarters of horror to start the year. Looked much better or found a little bit of form in the last 2 quarters when he went to halfback.
Do you leave him there?
I would have thought.
To play the Mitch Duncan role?
To play the Mitch Duncan role. He did look good in that particularly in the final quarter of that game. He found a bit of the ball. I think he had, I'll be wrong here, but I reckon he had only about maybe 7 or 8 possessions at half time. He ended up with 25. So all of them from when he went to the back half. I'd be leaving that. Mm-hmm. That means then you've got to find a couple of midfielders. I'd be getting Parfitt back in there and saying, you know, this is your opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Sam Simpson's another one, a creative type player, but they've got to mix up that midfield. You need to get a little bit more out of, I know defensively and work rate wise you'd never question him, but need to get a little bit more offensively out of Tommy Atkins.
Yep.
Hasn't done much offensively. We mentioned Dangerfield needs to London fog and certainly lift. Who else have we got in there? It gets thin.
Yep.
I mean, Selwood's not there. You're looking taking Guthrie out and playing him at half back. Who's...
Well, Blitzarves plays as a midfielder.
Well, Blitzarves just doesn't...
He doesn't impact the game.
Not offensively.
Yep.
I mean, he can at times, but he's not
but Geelong were better.
He's not a 26 possession midfielder.
So when he went into the ruck, I thought Geelong were better on win that last quarter.
Yes, so that weighs
so does,
up.
Where do you bring Segler? I think you have to. Is it a slap in the face to John Segler? If Reece Stanley's not right, which we think he won't be, is that a slap in the face to John Segler when you say, well, we're actually the second best ruckman on our list?
But we're not playing him because we're playing a bloke. Yeah.
Especially when Segler and Witz would actually be a good matchup. Although maybe Geelong will go, well, we think Blitzarve's mobility might.
Yeah. Well, I think you probably need to mix and match that a little bit. Maybe Blitzarve's plays more in the ruck, which means then Segler becomes a bit of a spare. You know, a spare appendage, which is not ideal because I don't think he can play forward. But the midfield is a big area of concern for mine. It's been getting pizzled, and it's also just coughing up numerous possessions to the top 4 or 5 midfielders of the opposition. You're all getting it 20, 25 times
plus. Geelong are turning it over is absolutely... They're turning, as you said, Sard and Doherty the week before, Noble, Dacos,
they ran right.
Pendlebury. You know, because they're coughing it up between sort of just 4 to the centre circle and the 50-metre arc, which is, as Sean Higgins said in the call last week, he said that is the most dangerous place on the ground to turn the ball over.
And the Cats can't go away from their attacking style. I think they've got to probably even go harder with that to try and unsettle Gold Coast. But it's an interesting contest, Kingy. Who else played well in the VFL? I think, they're not going to get a game, but I think Jai Clark played quite well.
He had 13 disposals.
Only limited game time, though.
Yep.
Didn't play.
Because he's coming back from, he had some knee tendonitis.
Yeah, the old nitis.
Yep. They reckon this Ocean Mullen, the Irishman, is a beast.
Right.
Yeah, 14 disposals.
What sort of beast?
You're an idiot.
What?
Like a wildy beast. So, you know, Nevitt had 19 possessions.
We ain't Nevitt going to see you again.
Yeah. Ted Klohisi kicked 3 goals.
Yeah. These are all kids who are not getting a game, by the way, but just sort of a sidelight.
Bit of what took place. Oscar Riccardi, 11 disposals. They're you know, Klohisi, Riccardi, we're not seeing them anytime soon. Mullen, they really like.
They had a pretty good win. That was quite a good win. Carlton didn't rest. I don't think Carlton rested any players. Geelong rested some players in the final quarter.
Well, Lachie O'Brien, who played as a sub.
He played.
Played. So, you know, Dow, O'Brien, Fogarty, Plowman, Josh Honey, Sam Durden, among those that, were. Alex Chincotta, the young kid from Newtown that got the SSP spot. He had 23 disposals, actually.
SSP, wasn't that a bat?
You think either SS Jumbo or St. Peter, take your pick.
Oh, right, I don't know. I'm not really up to the cricket.
But yeah, so they had, like, it wasn't, it wasn't.
Didn't Kepler Vessels use one of them?
I reckon he had a gun and more.
Did he?
Yeah. Or a Duncan. Did you call it a Duncan and Fernley the other night?
Oh, I don't know.
It was just Duncan Fernley.
Yeah, I know his sister. Do you want to know what her name is? I can't say it, or we'll get in trouble. But I'm up with my bats. The Gun and Moore. Is it Gun and Moore?
Gun and Moore.
Yeah.
Gray Nichols.
I remember Gray Nichols.
Gun and Moore was. I had a Gun and Moore Maestro. What a bat.
Well, what did Viv Richards used to use?
He had the V1. V100.
Yeah. And Clive Lloyd, he used to use the Duncan Fernley, and it weighed about 19,000 pounds, and he used to just smash people.
Remember the Simmons Tusker, the one with the rhinoceroses? That was what the War Brothers started with before
getting bigger contracts. You've got
Alan Border had one.
Bruce Laird used
Mark
to
use Taylor the used to wear one. Used to use one.
Dennis Lilly used a steel bat.
The aluminium bat. The aluminium bat. Yeah. You had. Remember Lance Cairns?
Yeah.
Who had the shoulderless bat?
Yeah.
I think it was a Newbury.
Didn't he have some health problems?
No, his son did, Chris.
Chris, right.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, Chris had some issues. I think he was living in Canberra or something like that in the last few years. So I think Lance has had his own concerns, but we digress. We're talking New Zealand cricket.
We are digressing, Kim.
Questions off the big footy for a start. Howler 41, not so much a question, just observations. No need to panic. Plenty of players are down, but you don't win a flag in March, April or May. Yeah, but you can lose it in March, April or May. Currently have 3 of our starting 6 defenders out, Stuart, Henry, Colajasny. Well, it's actually 4 if you count Duncan playing as a halfback. 2 of these 3 should be back by round 5, possibly even round 4. Huge ask for De Koning with 25-odd career games and Asava in his 3rd game in defence to quell the big forwards. Asava, a work in progress down back, gives away frees when panicking and grabs a jumper, looks to wrestle.
Yes, I agree with that, but you've got to wear that. I mean, he's very inexperienced as a defender, and what he does athletically and in other parts of it is fantastic. Yeah, he does need to work on that. He does panic a little bit when he is caught one-on-one, but that'll come. I mean, it's all part of the, you know, it's growing pains, unfortunately, but he's done some really good things, Radigala.
Yeah, absolutely. Longer break until the Suns will help Danger, Hawkins, Smith and a few sore bodies. Confidence the blokes that have been down will come good. Got to be close to the worst game, two worst games for the Cats. But he is class when it's back. Tui's given up a few goals with indecisiveness down back, not retiring blokes, but he'd want to sharpen up.
Yeah, I agree. He's just going. Started with a bang kick too early against Collingwood.
Well, they had to move him.
Yeah, he has been just.
Not enough pressure being applied to the ball at centre bounces. Seems all the mids get sucked towards the play with the ball, leaving loose players on the outside.
Well, yeah, just the midfield in general has just been getting well beaten. Not only are they not getting the ball, but the opposition's getting a ton of it. And the Geelong's midfielders just are not being very effective at all. I don't think you could name me one midfielder for Geelong that has started the year well.
Pods, Benny, harden up and get the tattoo. Catch of the future. Benjamin, let's talk more tat.
Oh, well, I've had to... Doctor's orders.
Right, we'll work on that. This is Cat to the Future. My take on both Carlton and Colling was that we took two completely different game styles.
Do you know what that's off, Doctor's Orders?
No.
It's off Caddyshack. When Carl Spackler was applying was putting the explosives.
Ah, yes. into
those, what do you call them? Like the little things he was blowing up.
Yeah.
And he's saying to him, he's talking to the gophers. Yeah,
he made the fake gopher.
Yes. Yeah. And he's talking to himself and he's saying, take no notice of these wires, doctor's orders.
Against Collingwood, it was 20-22 run and gun in an attempt to outscore. Against Carlton, we did the opposite and flooded numbers back to absorb and rebound, leaving the attack for the final quarter. Are you happy to see the experimentation and see it as a sign of a mature side implementing coaching direction, or having not worked is it a sign that we are bereft of a strategy that works with the current list availability?
Oh, we only had two games. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, okay, they were four goals up on the Pies, who were being talked about as the hottest team since the team was extraordinarily hot. So, Carlton, they didn't play well. They got within 8 points. I'm not sure they're not playing well, but they're not miles away. I don't think we need to start talking about.
Yeah, they haven't been blown out by 10 goals.
No, what, 20 minutes into the third quarter, they're four goals up on the Pies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that maybe was, you know, Jeremy Cameron has maybe papered over a few cracks. I heard that said and written.
He was in cheap mode on Friday night Thursday night.
I do agree potentially that there is an element of truth to that. But yeah, I don't think we need to start sort of questioning. I think Geelong just need to get, you know, a 5% lift out of, and I could reckon you could name a dozen players, if not more, who have started slowly. And then suddenly, you know, you're back in the mix. Can they just turn it on? It's an interesting. I mean, last year we were 5-4 and probably having similar discussions at that point, saying this guy's struggling, this guy's struggling, this guy's struggling. This is an interesting battle this week because they're away from home. If it was down here, you'd be penciling the Cats in for a W. Up there creates a bit of anxiousness.
Fox Dog 50, Thursday night's game, I couldn't broadcast you on the AFL app. Why I like this is I can pause and sync it with the live TV where I can't do it if I go to, on your direct website. Will it be back on the AFL app as it was there in round one? Good question, Fox Dog 50. I'll have to follow that up for you. I'm not sure why we weren't on the app still as well. Also, I asked you a question in giving games into Neil last week, but you both got distracted and didn't answer it. Hang on, Benny got distracted. Yeah, we need to get games into Neil, but
we do, but
not just gifting them.
No, but he also needs to come in on the back of a good block of you know, training and a good block of form. I wouldn't just be throwing him in.
He wasn't. He didn't get an unfettered preseason.
No, he had an interrupted preseason, I think, is the vernacular, Kingy. So I 100% agree, we do, but I think you need to do that at the right time. Just don't chuck him in as a reaction to somebody not being there and think that he's suddenly going to be the difference, because I think then you set him up to fail, probably plays poorly, and then he's out the following week. You get 3 or 4 week block into the VFL where he really impacts the games, he builds, and then you say at the top of his form in the VFL, then you throw him in. That's what I'd be thinking. All right.
How can we give him games while playing Hawkins and Cameron isn't a pure ruck?
Yeah, we can't. Yep. So that's the problem having a good team. This is where, you know, I heard Sam Mitchell talking about, Hawthorn's struggles. I mean, they were putrid on the weekend. But, you know, he made a point. I mean, you've got Jaeger, O'Meara and Tom Mitchell playing in the midfield. It means young blokes don't get a crack. Mm. And they're in a very different stage to Geelong. But that's the same. It's a similar. It's a microcosm, Kingy, at Geelong, in that we want to get a games into Shannon Neal, the Australian Idol singer, but we can't because we've got two absolute guns.
BW22, gents, is it time to strip back and get Segsy with the back line depleting? Do we try Blitzarves in defence? Bring in Segler to ruck with Stanley. I heard Scott say pre-round one that Segler and Stanley can play in the same team. This week might be it. We throw a senior voice down back, which is something I think we have lacked. Third quarter, we were clearly disjointed. After the three-quarter time break, we look very solid, clearly, after some guidance. It would be a waste to send Blitzarves back this week.
Well, they're not sending Blitzarves back with Deconi and Radigalia there. You're not going to have three blokes at 200 centimetres in the back half. I mean, the coaching staff say that Segler and Stanley can play together. I mean, they're going to say that. I mean, they have to. Well, they're going to say, no, we're not possibly doing that. I don't think they can. I don't think they will. I just don't see it. It's not workable. Stanley has some capacity to maybe play forward for a very small period. I don't think Segler does at all. Doesn't move well enough. At least Stanley has some athleticism. But, I mean, you ask those questions, you know what the response is going to be. They're going to say yes, and they're thinking, well, if we're doing that, geez, I think we're probably really clasping at straws, I would have thought.
And off the Carroll Football Twitter, Teddy G, with the back line needing someone to take control, isn't it time for Blitz to go back and have Segler in the 20s?
No, I just don't think you start panicking right now. It's two games. Let's just, you know, relax.
Do you panic if you're 0-3?
I don't know if you... Well, panic... If you've just won a flag, do you panic?
Concerned.
Probably not.
More
yeah, there'd be a lot of concern.
Yep. Daz Broncos, great call last week and shameless plug for CarrickFootball.live. I hope people are enjoying it.
Good work, Daz.
He's hoping we can get a pause button to allow it to sync to video streams. I will have a chat to our technical gurus about that. Daz asked, do we unleash Neil this week?
Well, I know people do want to unleash Neil. I just mentioned the reasons why I wouldn't unleash him if they did go that way. I just don't see. I think, as Kingy said, with Hawkins, Rowan and Henry, you do have some marking power. I just don't know if you want two sort of what you would classify slightly lumbering type players in Hawkins and Neil, both slightly underdone, playing in the one forward line.
Leadership, we have a large number of experienced players out, college, Asney Stewart, Jack Selwood. Very good, Daz. You even caught me out there. Even wrote afterwards. With the new players in the side, Bowes, Bruin, Ollie Henry, Sava, the expectations of a seamless transition a little too high. Well, it's never going to be seamless when you lose one of the greatest captains of all time.
No.
Dave Twist, do you think we may have missed a trick with Hawkins? He seemed a little underdone, and maybe in hindsight he should have been on a schedule like Duncan and come back around round 4 and 5 while this was happening. We could have played a Neil or a Dempsey to get a little experience.
Yeah, I can sort of see the merit in that. I mean, you got a bloke who's been...
The old Roger.
Yeah, Roger.
You can see the Roger merit.
Yep. bit of Rog with a big sort of fist just into the back of your cranium like he used to do most weeks.
He could seriously play Roger.
He could seriously punch you in the head too if he wanted to, but he was very, very good at it. But, I can see that. I don't know. He's been such a good player or star player for such a long period of time. I think they suggested he did get a block of 3 to 4 weeks training in just prior to the season. I don't know. Yeah, I can see both sides. I'm sitting on the fence, I know, but I can see both sides to that. You don't play him and then you lose. You say, how come Hawkins is not playing when he's available to play, even if he creates a contest, all those sorts of things. I mean, he hasn't been absolutely horrendous, but he hasn't been anywhere near the Tom Hawkins of the previous years. So, yeah, I don't know.
He was a good form post-game with us.
He was, yeah. And I thought it was fantastic because I think Cat fans, you know, sometimes players come on post-game and they lose a game and they're expected to have their bottom lip dragging on the ground and you couldn't possibly have a bit of a laugh or a bit of a joke and while talking seriously about the loss. I think Geelong fans think that that's, you know, if you show any sort of positive emotion post the game, that you're not feeling the loss. I thought it was really good because it highlighted how Tom Hawkins doesn't get too high when they win and he doesn't get too low when they lose. So it was fantastic because he did speak about things they need to work on, but then he was also able to have a bit of a joke and a bit of a laugh. So I just think sometimes footy fans in general need to just temper their, you know, that player's not feeling the loss as he should because that's part of what's, I think, has made Geelong great. They're not up here when they win and they're not down there when they lose.
Yeah, absolutely. That might do us, Benny, for this week. Then we've got another 10-day break, or 8-day break, sorry, I should say, for the Cats from Sunday into Easter Monday.
Into Easter Monday, Kingy.
Yeah, so we'll endeavour to bring you an Easter-themed edition.
We will.
You bring the Easter eggs next week, Benny. That'd be great.
I'd love the Easter eggs, Kingy. Do you think the glass coffins will be a success?
I'm not sure, Benny. Will they?
Remains to be seen.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.